Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. I feel like I have a little bit of a cold today. I don't know what it is. I went on a bike ride yesterday after some time. And I don't know, sometimes if I go on a long bike ride, I don't feel the best. Translation, don't go on the long bike rides. Oh, well, if you have an email account and you'd like to email us, you can write us at info@nocompromiseradio.com. Steve, probably 2 out of 3 or 4 weeks, he has a Saturday show. You can write him at tuesdayguy@nocompromiseradio.com. And if you want to send coffee, send it to Todd Friel instead. No, thanks again, Barb, for the Pete's Coffee. I appreciate that. All right, but where is my Pete's Coffee right now? It's over there on my desk. It's too far. It's out of reach. The only thing I have here close is I have a Bible. What's on my desk? Okay, Bible, ESV, large print edition. I have the Message, small print edition. All kinds of equipment. I have my Holy Land oil, soil, and water. And I have a stack of papers and a couple books, D. Troll writes an article entitled "Crucifixes in Throat, Hospitalize Woman." Woo! The family that prays together, D. Troll writes, stays together, or so the old saying goes. But how about the family that performs exorcisms together? What happens to them? Oh. See, a little knowledge of the Bible is a very scary thing, right? Things that go bump in the church. In the recent case of Mario Garcia, the results were not terribly wholesome for him and his loved ones. Following an exorcism in which the whole family in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. See, you know what? No Compromise Radio actually covers Pawtucket. And that is home of the minor league Red Sox team. Did you know that? I've seen a few games down in Pawtucket and then had to walk home afterwards because they stole my car. Just kidding, but pretty much. Rough part of town. Lent hand, Garcia ended up in jail on charges of puncturing his mother-in-law's esophagus with a pair of crucifixes. So we're not just talking about one crucifix, but we're talking about two. As part of his exorcism, Garcia shoved not one but two 8-inch steel crucifixes into his mother-in-law's mouth. Now see, what do we do here in America? And I guess all over the Western world. You want to see it. Wasn't that on video? Can I click on YouTube or something like that? Didn't somebody get their camera out to take a whole picture of this or take a video of that? But I see, I don't want to see that. I don't need to see it. It's not a good thing. The crosses went deep enough down her throat to pierce her esophagus. Police who were called to the scene found the woman bleeding profusely from the mouth on Garcia's front porch with Garcia shouting. Now, when the police arrive and there's somebody bleeding from their mouth and the person shouts, "Please help, there's been a horrible accident. A rush, where's the ambulance? Help, emergency, please, assist, SOS." Now see, that wouldn't be bad, would it? But here the police show. They're on the porch and the guy who was performing the exorcisms was shouting. What was he shouting, you ask? Well, see, that's the part of the story that you have to desire. You have to get the listener to desire to know what he was shouting. So that's why you play it out a little bit. It's the art of storytelling, which I'm not good at, but I want to be. The devil is inside her. Now, Tuesday guy used to be a policeman, of course, and I know some other policemen. What do you think they do? Oh, man. Where's Jethro Gibbs when you need him? Blood was found covering the walls and floors throughout the apartment. Garcia was arrested for assault with a dangerous weapon. No. This is so bad because, by the way, this happened a long time ago, so these people have all either died or been healed or moved on or whatever, so I am not trying to laugh at the injury. That's not what I'm doing because this is old. I'm laughing at assault with a dangerous weapon. I mean, what else do you do? How do you get somebody charged with assault with a crucifix? That's the dangerous weapon. And taken under psychiatric observation. Now, there you go. The woman was hospitalized in critical condition. See, I didn't know that part, so I wouldn't have laughed. Police are in agreement with Garcia's family that he did not act with intent to harm. Well, I don't know how that works, but here's what I do know. I believe that demons are real. I believe that Satan is real. I believe that principalities and powers of the air are real. I believe that demon possession is real. I believe that Satan and his minions are battling against God and his people. But I just didn't like the way this exorcism was done. I don't know if the crime in America is related to Satan. I don't know if the false religions of the world are directed to Satan, although I think he's more involved in the second than the first. My point is, I don't know all the details. What do we attribute to Satan and what do we attribute to the flesh? I mean, for us, we have to acknowledge that Satan and demons exist, but to what extent they do things, we don't know. We do know that it's underneath the sovereign control of God. Hardest working servant in the world is Satan, according to Martin Luther, because Satan can only do what God wills. That's good to know. And what Satan intends for evil, God can turn to good. But all the details, I don't know. I don't know what we, you know, people get drunk and they say it's the demon of drunkenness, the demon of alcohol. Well, I think that's just a sin of the flesh. Now, can there be some temptation and some luring and some worldly system that's controlled by Satan that helps exacerbate the problem? Well, yes, but my point is I just don't know the details. I acknowledge that the flesh is sinful and depraved. And then when God saves, there is a sin hangover, yet no longer depraved, contra Tullian. And then I believe that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth and that he is not bound and that he will be bound, but he is not now. Well, we have to just go back to the Bible. We have to go back to God rules and reigns, and he teaches us everything we need to know from the scriptures, which are sufficient. We know that Satan seems to be having a field day today. And his days, though, our number, victory was guaranteed at Calvary. And we can take heart that Satan is not the king, that demons have only limited authority. And the Bible reminds us of the greatness of God. That's what we're starving for. And so when you look at Jesus and his work with demons in particular, I think you can be encouraged that Jesus has authority over demons. Mark chapter 1, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach, right? Well, here I'm looking at my notes, and for some reason, I don't have the rest of those verses. So now, what do you do if you have your notes, and somehow their notes end at chapter 1, verse 21? Then you quickly open up your Bible. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So when we think about the Bible, and we think about exorcisms. Most people look at a New Testament text, and I've talked about this many times on No Compromise Radio, and they will look at a text and they will think, well, whatever's done by Jesus, whatever's done by Elijah, whatever's done by Moses, whatever's done by Peter, whatever's done by Paul, whatever's done by John, whatever's done by Stephen, whatever's done by so-and-so, then I must be able to do that too. So Jesus commands the demon to leave, and he leaves. He orders and rebukes the unclean spirit to depart, and he does. And what Jesus can do, therefore I can do. And see, that's the problem, because we aren't Jesus. We aren't his apostles. And so would it strike you as odd to know that the church is never directly taught in the New Testament epistles on how to directly deal with demons? If casting out unclean spirits and devils and demons is absolutely mandatory for the church, why wasn't it mentioned in the epistles? Did God forget something? Did God overlook something? Is there one more book that is in the canon but we have not found yet, but we might find? 67th book. Pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, written to leaders in the church on how the church should function. And if demon exorcism, demon possession, and demon oppression, and how to deal with those issues is so important, why wasn't it directly addressed? Now you say, well, what about Ephesians chapter 6? Well, that's true. We are told about spiritual warfare then, but we're not told to talk to demons. We're not told to rebuke demons. We're not told to cast out demons. We're not told to take crucifixes. So what do people end up doing? Well, I would say even back in the days when I sadly listened to Bob Larson, I listened to him on KKLA in Los Angeles in the early 90s, fascinated with Bob Larson. Can't remember what it was called, but he did all this kind of stuff. It is much more interesting to talk about demon possession and rebuking demons and exorcism than it is holy life of self-denial and joy in the Spirit. That, I mean, it just doesn't sell now, does it? How many Hollywood movies are... Let's see, we've got The Exorcist, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I don't know, there's probably a bunch of other exorcism movies. Exorcist 2, Exorcist 3, I don't know, Omen. Demonbuster.com says, see, once you leave the Bible, it's just, talk about Fruit Loops. Talk about just machinations. We have received almost daily reports that when someone wants to open our website or print our material, their printer or their computer malfunctions and will not print or download. It seems that there are more the more desperate you are to seek help, the more the demons interfere. Two demons specifically assigned to cause malfunctions in electronic equipment are Boyce and Boyce, B-O-Y-C-E and B-O-I-C-E. Why? Why do they call that? Why, you know, like the founder of Boyce College, James Pettigrew Boyce, B-O-Y-C-E, why do we have to have a demon named after him? And then James Montgomery Boyce? Why is everybody with the last name that sounds like Boyce starts with the word name, first name James? James Boyce, James Boyce, James Pettigrew Boyce, James Montgomery Boyce. Bind them in the name of Jesus and tell them to leave your equipment. If you have trouble contacting us, pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind up all my demons and put them in the box, capital letters. Now, in real time, January 7th or so, I think the No Compromise website was hacked, and Josh did a great job getting it right back up later in the day. But I maybe shouldn't have told Josh to do anything with the hacking, and maybe it wasn't a random phishing kind of computer program from some high schoolers or something. Maybe it was Boyce or Boyce. And I've told you before that since the Bible doesn't say anything about demon possession, by the way, I'll just tell you ahead of time. If you think you know someone who has a demon, well, what do you do? You're not told what to do. You can't act like Jesus. You don't have his power. You don't have the power of the apostles. So why don't you preach the gospel to them? And if the Spirit of God goes in, the demon goes out. How about that? Why don't you talk to them about sin, Savior? Why don't you talk about them, to them about God as creator, judge, and savior, that they are fallen, sinful, and foolish, that Jesus made reconciliation and redemption at Calvary, confirmed by the resurrection, that their response is to trust and to repent and to follow. Why don't you tell them to believe? Why don't you tell them about Jesus and how they must believe in him? And I can guarantee you this, that when the seal of the Holy Spirit, the Arabon is what we call it in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14, when they receive the Spirit, they will receive that to the day of redemption, and out goes demons. And so the response, if you meet someone who is crazy, unstable, ill, a cancer tumor, demon-possessed, you don't even really need to know anything about the person except they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know about him, so preach the gospel. But the second you abandon Scripture, the second you start thinking to yourself, well, Jesus says to, you know, be silent, come out of him to the demon, that's how I should talk, then you're going to do some bad things. I've told you before about some rabbinic methods to get rid of demons were amulets and hell broths. Remember the hell broths message that we had? Now, sometimes I'm sent by my wife to go get some chicken broth, and it's a special soup that she makes. I don't know if it's a noodle soup, a chicken noodle soup for sick people, or what it is. But what if you went to the store? Do you know how they have hot sauce, the purgatory and back, double lake of fire? I don't know what they're called, but it's hot sauce, salsa kind of hot sauce, Tabasco type of deal. What if there was a hell broth? Oh, man, I don't know if it would sell very much. Well, let's see. What else do we have here? Two exorcism prayers are attributed to St. Modestos for animals afflicted during epidemics, especially oxes, horses, donkeys, mules, and sheep. So is that where Modesto, California came from St. Modestos? I'm not exactly sure. Here is the rite of exorcism, Litany of Saints, 57 total from Joan of Arc to John the Baptist. Rite of exorcism, Roman Catholic Church, from a website. Unclean spirit, whoever you are, and all your companions who possess the servant of God, by the mysteries of the incarnation, the sufferings and death, the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, by sending of the Holy Spirit and by the coming of the Lord in the last judgment, I command you. Tell me with some sign your name, the day and the hour of your damnation. Obey me in everything, although I am unworthy servant of God. Do no damage to this creature or to my assistants or to any of their goods. Is it just the way I read it that strikes me strangely? Or is it the content? Or maybe Ted says it's both. I'm not sure. The sole prerogative of Jesus is to deal with these demons. Jude 9, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." What does James 4:7 say in a call to salvation? Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Yeah, but that's not so romantic. I don't have a step list. I don't have to call people in for that. I don't need to have a voice and a voice deal. I don't want you binding Satan. I want you to know that Christians are indwelt by God and believers cannot be possessed. You know the verse, 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We are the temple of the living God. We are sealed to the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 6, the temple of God. Ephesians 4, ownership. And we know that God protects us as Christians. We know 1 John 5:8, Haines says, no one who is born of God sins as a practice, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. How about 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3? But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Isn't that good to know? How about the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17? I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. We know that Jesus Christ has dealt with the wicked one. Hebrews 2:14, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. You don't need to buy into the modern day bondage breaker stuff. Remember Neil Anderson, who came out some time ago? I think I've called him Neil Armstrong before in the past. The first man on the moon. Apollo 11, Neil Anderson. So for once and for all, I know it's Neil Armstrong who went to the moon. And I know it's Neil Anderson who wrote The Bondage Breaker some 15, 20 years ago. He did say in Bondage Breaker, page 107, it is my observation that no more than 15% of the evangelical Christian community is completely free of Satan's bondage. The other 85% are struggling along fruitlessly at one of the at least three levels of spiritual conflict. Doesn't that strike you as odd that we, as No Compromise listeners, are the 15%? That's just kooky. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him firm in your faith. That's what you do when the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. I think you can do that. I think you can do that. I think we praise God for a full and complete salvation, not just saved from hell, but it includes all kinds of other issues. We are the children of the Father. Neil Anderson said in Bondage Breaker, page 179 to 180, anything bad which you cannot stop doing or anything good which you cannot make yourself do could be an area of demonic control. What if you do make provision for the flesh by giving Satan an opportunity in your life through sin? Do we have blanket immunity from Satan's invasion? No. That protection is conditional on our responsible participation in God's plan for our protection. See, that's bad sanctification. That's bad demonology, but it sure sells a lot of books, doesn't it? At least in the short term. I think Bondage Breaker can be found in the same place that Prayer of Jabez, of Jabez, can be found. Purpose Driven Life, Edition 1, and soon enough, Edition 2. What are the other books that came by? I Just Want More Land. Who is that? Well, that was Gary Gillies' critique of the Prayer of Jabez. So what are the other big ones that have come out? There's some other big ones. Wild at Heart. Right? It's found in the same place where Wild of Heart is found. The deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what are we going to do on No Compromise Radio? When you read the Gospels and Acts, you say to yourself, these are historical books. Acts is a transition book. And look at who Jesus is and how great Christ is, the eternal God. Look at the Messiah. And let's not make everything that Jesus does into something that we can do. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would be tempted in the wilderness for 40 days by the devil. Jesus would talk to Satan. I don't want you to do either of those. Don't go to the desert and don't talk to Satan. You talk to your Father and you can say things like, Lord, what's going on in my life? It seems like it could be some spiritual attack. Could you protect me? Could you guard me? Could you help me increase my trust in you as you watch out for me with my life and with my eternal soul? The Globe and Mail, June 22nd, about the same time this other article appeared, Cambridge, Ontario, a woman who believed that she had the power to perform exorcisms admitted in court yesterday that she killed her granddaughter by forcing water down the child's throat in an effort to drive out the devil. I won't read the rest because it is absolutely heartbreaking. So what's my point? My point is, whether it's real life and death, people really getting hurt and killed, or if it's real sanctification for the Christian life, what you learn about demonology and what you understand about how to take care of issues with the flesh, Satan, demons, his minions, his emissaries. It's important. It's important that you know what the Bible teaches so you don't get caught doing some of these things. That is a satanic strategy to try to kill any image bearer, even if it's in the name of driving out demons. I don't know if Hollywood has pushed this. I don't know if it's just romantic titillation as people read the Bible and therefore they get you know, lulled into this sense that they can do what Jesus does. But we'll leave these things into the care of the Father. And if you'd like to have some reading, then you can read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And there are your marching orders for spiritual warfare. And you'll see it's much different than getting out water or crucifixes or talking to Satan himself. My name is Mike Abendroth. This is NoCompromiseRadio.com.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.